Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Grub is going to bring this to midweek services, and as we collect and the temperature goes up, he'll, you know, fill up the whatever and keep painting this up. And so every week we'll get to see our progress. Amen? Grub, awesome job as usual. Thank you so much. The man's got skills. I've titled the lesson this morning, Blessed Beyond Measure. Could you let me hit play in the back? Thank you. In John 3:16, a passage we're very familiar with, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Remember the context of who John is talking to in that passage. He's talking to Jews who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That is the context. But the message is a very powerful one. That you know what? God loved us so much that he was willing to give up his Son to die in our place, so that we will have eternal life. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 32, it says, he, talking about God, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see the argument that God is making here? That God has given us the most important thing to him, is giving it to us already, in Jesus, in allowing Jesus to die for you and I. And brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, that is the greatest blessing on the face of this earth that you and I have. Because of that one act, because of that sacrifice, you and I were truly blessed beyond measure. We serve a gracious and a wonderful God who gave his Son to die in our place. I don't know of any parent in here, including myself, who would allow one of my kids to die for my enemies. I'm sorry, I love you all, but I don't love you that much, to the point where I'm going to allow one of my kids to die for you. And you are not even my enemies. Imagine God allowing his Son to die for sinners like you and me. Remember what it says in Scripture. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's very sobering. That word blessed in Hebrew means barak. B-A-R-A-K. Like the name of our president. I wonder if you realize that's what his name meant. In the Greek, it's Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. In the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of times where the Bible will say, you know what, you're favored by God. Same idea. The Greek for that is eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. E-U-L-O-G-O. It means to bestow blessings, to cause to prosper, to make happy. That is the kind of God that we're serving. That is the kind of God that we're here this morning worshiping. A God who loves us deeply. Now turn to Luke chapter 9. These scriptures, like I'm sure it did for you, changed my life. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, this same Jesus who died for you and me, he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life would lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Today, I decided to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Amen. And I can tell you, I am very humbled by the last 28 years. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. All I knew was that I made the decision to surrender my life to God. Amen. And for God to do whatever he wanted with me as he saw fit. I remember reading also Luke 14, where Jesus talks about you basically got to put your mom, your dad, and your family members before. You can't put your mom and dad and so on, your family members before him. And asking us to count the cost. And I had no idea the impact of that one decision that I made. And I'm not blowing my trumpet this morning, brothers and sisters. I am very, very humbled for everything the Lord has done with my life in the last 28 years. I got some text messages from brothers I've known for a very long time this morning encouraging me. And one of them, the brother, just said, you know what? Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. It's good to see that 28 years later, you're just as fired up as you were when you back then. I thought that was encouraging. But I want you to think about your own life this morning. And think about how far God has brought you. And for you to understand that he's not through with you yet. 28 years ago, I did not know a soul in this room. Not even my wife. I did not know anybody in here. And yet here I am. 28 years later. In this place and time. Because this is where God wants me. And some of you are even asking me, so, Richard, where are you going? Are you going somewhere? I don't know. I do know. My Bible says the Spirit blows wherever it pleases. It is the Spirit of God that brought me here. Amen? Amen. And I have no idea what the Spirit of God is going to do this time next. I really don't know. I couldn't answer that. But all I know is, like you, I surrendered everything to Jesus. And I said, if God says to go, I am going to go. And you better not stand in front of me because, you know, I'll run you over. But you and I have been blessed beyond measure. Think about what your life would be like if you were not a disciple of Jesus Christ. I personally don't have the words to even begin to fully describe what the last 28 years have been like. And I'm looking forward to the next 28 if I am so lucky to still be on this earth. Look in Psalm 32. We're going to talk about this morning, just again, being blessed beyond measure. Just some of the things God has done for us. Because if we're not careful, all we see is the negative and how tough life is. In Psalm 32, in verse 1, it says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Who is he talking about? That's talking about us. God says, Blessed are you whose transgressions have been forgiven, whose sins are covered. Who covered them up? Jesus did. Like Bishop has been teaching us in Ezekiel, I can't wait to get to the other side and fall down on my face before God. And I'm going to get up and give him a big kiss. It's going to be incredible. He saw things he can't even begin to describe. Heaven is going to blow your mind. But we got to understand that Jesus is the one who made all this stuff possible. That's why he repeats what I just read in Romans chapter 4. You can write the references down. Verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Wow! That ought to keep you going every single day. Every time you and I wake up, it's like, you know what? God's not going to... Jesus paid for my sins. Jesus paid for my sins. Now, that doesn't give us the license to continue to sin. Romans chapter 6 talks about that one. But I've experienced this. Look in Psalm 84. Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, in verse 4, it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. He's talking about you and me. It says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. You and I are dwelling in God's house. God is dwelling in us through his Holy Spirit. Do you really know how blessed you are? Or do you see just all the challenges that you have to face every single day? Is that all you see? Has Satan so deceived you that you're focusing on all the wrong things? Instead of realizing how blessed we are. He says we go from strength to strength. Has it been an easy life? No. But I'm still standing. You're still standing. Your character is a lot more like Jesus. Because it is through hard times that God works in us and changes our character. Amen? Amen? If anything, the Bible says that, you know, when God disciplines us, you and I are blessed. Let's keep going. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Oh, we got to read that again. He says, those who trust in man, they're in trouble, basically. But in verse 7, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He says, when you're like that, you're like a tree planted by streams of water. You don't fear when the heat is coming. Your leaves will always be green. He says, you will have no worries in a year of drought. And you will never fail to bear fruit. You see, when you and I, because we're God's children, because we're close to God, this is what happens. You and I have received one blessing after another. And I promise you, it didn't start when you became a disciple. It started when God knit you together in your mother's womb. That was when it started. Are you with me? Then the day came, yes, the time came. When God now showed you himself through his word and you responded to it. Amen. You and I basically went back home. We had been out a distant country thinking, yeah, we could be happy without God. And God was waiting. That's right. And he sent people our way. Amen. And I'm glad we listened. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I'm glad those men and women didn't mince words. They showed you the scriptures. Because like Bishop referred to this morning, I love those passages. That when you see somebody doing wicked and you don't say anything, their blood is going to be on your hands. That's why you got to speak up. People say, Richard, you got a big mouth. It's because of verses like that. Because I'm going to stand before God one day. You're going to stand before God. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. I will say it. Whether you listen or not, I will tell you in love. What you do with it is entirely up to you. But I will tell you. That's why I'm a preacher. And that's why I'm going to die a preacher. Even if nobody's listening to me. And praise God, you guys are listening. Okay? You guys are a great audience. You listen. Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 messages, but you listen. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I say it once and it's done. Oh, no. That's why every Sunday I got to keep repeating myself. But I know that one day you will get it. The light will go off. And then what God is saying to you through his word, through me, you now do it. And that's why we got to turn around and tell people the truth. We can't shy away from that. When you see a brother or you see a sister, you see somebody you know that you care about, you love struggling, you got to love them enough to sit them down and say, bro, sister, you're messing up. You got to change things. You guys say, well, that's not my headache. Oh, yeah, it is your headache. You forget God is going to hold you accountable on the other side. Well, I'm not a leader of some kind. That's the elder's job. That's the preacher's job. Oh, no. God allowed you to be in that circle to see that stuff so that you can deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
The leaders of the church can't be everywhere. They don't know everything. But that's where you and I come in. We got to make sure that we're getting the word out there. We got to make sure that we're telling other people what the wonderful things God has done for us. Because God has saved us for a reason. Bishop was talking about this again on Thursday night. We have a purpose in life. When it's all said and done, when you and I leave this place, what is your life going to count for? Would people even know? I'm not talking about inventing some gadget. Who cares? That gadget is going to burn one day. All this Apple, all these smartphones, and all this whatever. They still can't cook. I don't know why they call it a smartphone. The day that thing starts cooking, that's the day I call it a smartphone. That's a different day, different sermon. But everything is temporary, brothers and sisters. That's why we got to make sure that our lives, our focus is on what's eternal.
Amen.
God has been so good to us, it's not even funny. He says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Man is temporary. God is permanent. Life is temporary. Eternity is forever. We got to be people who continue to trust God. This is what the Bible tells us over and over and over again. That you and I are so blessed. We ought to think about it every day. God has been so good to you. God has been so good to me. I was thinking about this the other day. A lot of my friends and colleagues, my age, they're battling cancer. Some of them are passed on. You know, Sarah and I were praying the other day, and I had to knock on wood. I don't even know why, where that tradition came from, but I did that. I said, man, Sarah, we have so much to be thankful for. Yeah, it's quite possible there's something going on in my body I don't know anything about. When we get to that point, I'll deal with it. But I said, you know, when I look around, it's like, man, we're very healthy people. God has been so good to us. I mean, what have I done to deserve all this? I was talking to a brother who's battling cancer right now, not Nietzsche, Wilner, that a lot of you know, and we've been praying for, and the doctors have, you know, finally said there's really nothing they can do. And I was talking to him on the phone the other day. I said, bro, how you doing? He said, I'm hanging in there. He said, I'm just hanging in there. He said, that's all I can do. He doesn't know how much time he has left. Pancreatic cancer kills you very quickly. Within 4 to 6 months, you're gone. But I share that to say, if Wilner lives tomorrow, he's lived an incredible life. There are thousands all over this country. There are hundreds of people in Haiti and in Africa who are going to see God's face because of his life. That's a life worth living. You and I are disciples of Jesus. And God has called us to take that message out there. Say, go tell other people what I've done for you. Starting with Jesus. It starts and ends with Jesus. That's why we can't help but get this message out. Again, Bishop read that verse this morning. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. He says, you know what? I can't keep it in. I got to tell somebody. Look in Psalm 119. I want to say thank you to this church for putting up with me for the last 10 years. I really mean that. I know I can be a knucklehead, but I want to thank you honestly for your love and your kindness and your patience. And I want you always to know that whatever it is I'm doing or saying or how I'm doing it comes from one place. And that is because I love God intensely and I want us to get to heaven. Amen. That's all I think about. That's all that motivates me. But I want to thank you for allowing me to be your evangelist. Say, Richard, are you leaving? I answered that a few minutes ago. I'm not. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere, okay? At least the Holy Spirit hasn't told me to get moving or do something. Are you with me? But I want to thank you nonetheless. Because to me, this is a very special day for me. To think about how all the places I've been to and all the disciples that I've been able to help, all the messages I've preached, and it's very humbling. It really is. It really is. And I don't know how long I have left on this earth, just like you don't. My wife and I are getting ready to go to a meeting in Ridgecrest with all the Southeast leaders. We could pass on this afternoon in an accident. I don't know.
You could pass on next week. You just don't know. But we're blessed beyond measure. In Psalm 119, beginning verse 1, it says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." Man, I love God's word. Like Galileo said to us in the welcome, this is God's email to us. Organized and everything. Do you realize that people died so that you and I can have this? So that you and I can read this on our own? Do you realize that there was a time when you couldn't read this? The men that translated this into English, they died. They were killed. They were hunted down. The least you and I can do is take the time to read it. Jesus died for this. People died for this. We got to make the time to get into God's word, because then we see all the blessings. Because all the blessings come in as a result of our obedience. Write this reference down. You need to go study this out. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. It talks about all the blessings that come as a result of obeying God. That was God talking to his kids back then. And believe me, the message hasn't changed. It's the same thing to us. This is where it comes from. Our obedience is paramount. When you and I do not obey the Bible, when you and I do not follow this, guess what? You are holding back blessings from God. I mean, think about it. A lot of us in here were parents. What happens when you ask your kids to go do something and they don't obey you? What do you say? You say, "Well, your birthday is coming up. That computer game you've been wanting, guess what? You are not going to get it." That's all you need to say. And guess what? Their behavior changes. Because they want that gift. You don't think God is the same way? See, when you and I don't obey him, we're holding back the blessings. He's not going to keep pouring blessings to your life. It's not possible. So all this stuff that you and I go through, believe it or not, are self-inflicted. And God says, just love me and obey my word. And then you watch what happens. Amen? Amen? It all comes down to obeying God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should obey because you want to be blessed. God knows your heart. God sees it. You need to obey because you love God. And the fact that Jesus died for you. There's a different motivation. Are you with me? I want you to reflect on your life as I'm reflecting on mine today. I still remember confessing out Jesus is Lord. It was during the evening service. Yes, we used to have evening services on Sunday back then. I think I need to talk to our elders. Come on, bro. He was great. The time of Bible study. And I remember being immersed in water and coming out. And realizing the fact that, you know what? I'm going to heaven now. As long as I keep following God, when I leave this place, I know exactly where I'm going. And it's been one blessing after another. Starting with my wife that I met on the mission field. I'd never been to Kenya. I had no desire to go to Kenya. And yet, that's where God took me. Because that's where my wife was waiting for me. Because God knew what he wanted me to do with my life.
And the only person that could help me in this journey was Sarah. And when I look back at our lives and our two girls and all my brothers and sisters in the faith all across this world, I am very humble. Why should you and I be so blessed? I love Mr. Harris Brown. Every time you walk up to him and give him a hug and say, "How you doing?" he answers the same way every time. Blessed and highly favored. I believe that's the way all of us need to feel every single day. And he says it because he feels it. It's not just talk for him. Church, God has been so good to us. I love you guys. I thank you for your love for God. I thank our elders and their wives. I thank our staff, John and the Lils. The Lils are not here. They're on vacation in Florida right now. And I'm looking forward to the next 28 years. If I can be so blessed. Because I'm going to tell you, church, I have not even begun. God bless.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be able to have elders, evangelists, and just see how blessed we are as a church. We have our team ministry, we have our marrieds, we have our singles, and also campus. Help us all to work as a unit. And like the scripture says in Psalm 119 verse 1, blessed are those who are blameless. Help us to be able to stay in your word. Help us to be able to have other people to be blessed as well. To be able to share and open our mouths and be able to have to give people salvation and a chance to be able to have a relationship with you. How you've given to us, and help us not to forget that. Help us continue to every day to battle and be able to fight for our relationship with you. God, we love you. Be with us the rest of the day. Pray our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.